Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Montana, you know this, right? Because you're working here. Pretty tight job market. Record low unemployment. You know, that's good news, right? That's good news for employees. That's good news for employers as well. But, you know, you have to look at a tight job market and go, what do we need to do to make sure that there's room for those who want to be employed? And I think we're finding out in Montana, in fact, we'll have some numbers behind that today. There are a number of people who have fallen out of the workforce. Many of them want to be employed. We're going to talk about that today. There's a new program that's going to help do that. But there's a lot of things to talk about when we talk about our economy and the jobs that relate. We have recent layoffs in the resources industry. AI is going to play a part of that as well. Today on Voices of Montana, our Commissioner of Labor and Industry, Sarah Swanson, is with us in studio. And we'll talk about labor and all those issues for a Friday on Voices. Sarah Swanson in studio, our Commissioner of the Department of Labor and Industry. And Sarah, thanks for coming in. Appreciate that. How you doing?
I'm good. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
You've had such a kind of a big couple of days as we were chatting ahead of this. We want to talk about some of these issues here too, but the National Governors Association was in town. Rodeo Billings kicked off. I didn't say if we could ask if we could talk about this, but there was a number of governors. They were in incognito who took in Rodeo Billings yesterday, and you led that. So talk about that a little bit.
Oh, happy to, Tom. Yeah. It's been an honor to showcase Montana. Yeah. We didn't have the governors, but we did have policy advisors, labor directors, workforce staff, commerce directors from 37 states in Billings with us the last several days of this week. And last night, we took them to Rodeo Billings, and for many of them, it was their first rodeo. And it was a lot of fun to showcase Montana and really the best of Billings.
Did you say, hang on, you're going to like this?
We did. Yeah. We did. And the Rodeo Billings crew gave us a first-class experience. We had a really good time.
What an opportunity, though. You know, and Governor Gianforte was in yesterday in the studio. We grabbed some news clips for our news network, and he chatted about this 406 and also the National Governors Association. You maybe talk about how that national association ended up with their annual conference here in Montana.
It was a competitive opportunity that we pursued in Montana. So back in February, the NGA workforce folks were all out in D.C. for the Policy Institute. I took a 36-hour break from the Montana legislature and flew out there with a slide deck. And our state Workforce Innovation Board director, Billings' own Jennifer Owen, we flew out to D.C. and we pitched Billings, Montana as the site for the NGA Summer Workforce Institute. And we won. And so we're honored to host and showcase the best of Billings. Yesterday, we got to introduce them to some amazing local employers and small employers. So often the work that we do on the national workforce stage is large employers across the country. Yeah. Yesterday, we got to showcase a panel of employers here in Billings with Bill Simmons from MasterLube, with the team from Red Ox, and we held the event at their outdoor pavilion. And then some of the leaders from RDO Equipment Company here in town to really explain to these folks around the country what it's like to be an employer here in Montana.
Are Montana business leaders different? In my mind, I just love Montana. I really do. Are they different than other business leaders in other states?
I wouldn't say that they're different, but they have to be more innovative and more resilient. You know, Montana's got a lot to offer, but our business owners wear a lot of hats, and it's our job in government to streamline how we interact with them so that we're not asking too much of our business leaders. And that was a big part of yesterday's conversation of, you know, what are the barriers that government accidentally creates for employers, and how do we get those out of the way?
I have appreciated, since you took over, it's like two years, I've not heard much about the Department of Labor and Industry. And then Sarah Swanson gets appointed commissioner, and you've got outreach, you've got some mobile units, and we have also seen the need for that with some resource industry closures. But I think there's overall a lot of good news in that regard. Talk about your vision then. Talk about why I now know a little bit more about DIL than I did before.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. I was an employer for a long time in Montana. My family owned and operated Farm Equipment Sales, a four-store John Deere dealer organization in extreme northeast Montana.
And did it very well.
And we were proud of the work that we did and the people that we served. But more importantly, it was hard for us to interact with state government, and it shouldn't be that way. Mm. The state government services, there are some things that government needs to do and needs to regulate, but in almost all other instances, government just needs to get out of the way. And so we've really tried to outreach directly with our employers to learn from their perspective. What can we do better? What can we do different? And that's really what the last 2 years have been all about, is hearing right from our employers.
And I think our governor is one of those who leads like that. He wants data, and then he wants people to take data and direct their own future regarding that. This is where the 406 jobs initiative came from, I suppose. I mean, there's probably a lot more to it, but let's launch into this and the value of it.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. So 406 jobs was announced by Governor Gianforte on Monday by executive order, and it is new. It's a statewide strategic framework for workforce development across Montana, and it does a couple of things, but most importantly, Tom, it's bold. We shared this with 37 states worth of policy staffers yesterday at the National Governors Association, and the room was pretty awestruck that our governor and our Department of Labor were willing to be so bold in these directions and really put employers first. So what the announcement was with Governor Gianforte on Monday is this bold new executive order to launch the 406 jobs initiative and set a clear expectation in Montana that industry will lead workforce reform in Montana, not government, and that state government will streamline our services and we will work better together across agencies and across branches of government. And the goal of that is that we will align our work in government with the real needs of Montana's communities, its workers, and its employers. 406 jobs is conveniently designed to really focus on all the ways that Montanans enter and move around our labor market. There's really four pathways to work. There's registered apprenticeship and direct to career on the job training opportunities, but I don't think we talk about enough with our young people. Young people in Montana have skills and work ethic, and how can they put that to work right in their communities through direct to career opportunities? The second pathway to work, as we all know, is a traditional college education. But third, we have a military pathway in Montana that's incredible. We know Montana's service rate in all branches of the military is among the highest in the nation. And really recognizing that that third pathway to work is just as valuable. I'm a Navy mom myself. My youngest is still in the U.S. Navy. And that military pathway for skills training is so important. And last but certainly not least is something near and dear to Governor Gianforte, and that's the pathway to work that is entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
We have so many entrepreneurs in Montana. We know we have, you know, record new business creation year after year the last several years. And so recognizing that folks enter the workplace in four different and distinct ways, and they use at times all of them to move around the labor market. But we don't have a system that really recognizes and values each of them. And then the zero is zero barriers to employment. Focusing all of the state systems and resources together so that we are focused on zero barriers to employment for all of Montanans. That means we ensure that we have prepared employees, engaged employers, and a responsive system that helps people overcome those barriers. You mentioned a little bit earlier that the Department of Labor and Industry released a report last Friday called Montanans for Hire. We've been studying this issue for a couple of years with our economy team. And what we've discovered is we think there's 100,000 Montanans right now on the sidelines to our workforce. They're of prime working age. They're between the ages of 16 and 54. And they've left the workforce entirely, and they're not actively looking for work. We're continuing to do more research and engaging directly with Montanans because we want to know why. What is keeping you out of the workforce? Is it childcare? Is it housing? Is it transportation? Is it behavioral health? Is it something else? Because as a system, the system needs to be responsive to help people get over that barrier to get into the workplace because we've got plenty of work for them. And then the whole structure is based around six high demand industries in Montana that I'm certain we'll talk more about today.
Go ahead and label them. I mean, so we've got some of these apprenticeship, education, military, entrepreneurship. I'll get into that a little bit. And then we'll talk about those industries too. I'm going to ask a question because I see something on here I don't see very often. And that is recognizing that the military is an avenue for careers, right? And it's come a long ways since the draft was decommissioned. I'm not sure how, it's probably 50, 60 years ago. And then an all-volunteer military, which is almost unique in the world. And so what was the kind of impetus behind that, about recognizing that?
You know, the U.S. military, Tom, is the biggest single training provider in this country. And the training that they provide our young men and women in service is incredible. But we don't do a really good job of making it easy for our service members, after they've served our country, to transition back into service or into civilian life, and to leverage the training they got during service to turn that into skills and work right here in Montana. And we aim to do better.
Sarah Swanson is with us, Commissioner of the Montana Department of Labor and Industry. Prior experience, as you mentioned, with previously a small business owner in Glasgow, Montana, that John Deere dealership, and built that up. You've also spearheaded some programs as commissioner as well. We'll talk more about that. Back to 406 jobs. All right. So we've got those. I don't know. Would you call them pillars? Those are pathways, I suppose, to employment. Now, what industries are you trying to target or touch with that?
So to be clear, Tom, when we talk about the high demand industries in Montana, things like the construction trades and advanced manufacturing or computing or healthcare, we're focusing on six sectors that have the highest current or projected shortfalls in available workers. Specifically, we started with a deep data analysis focused on numbers. And so the six industries I'm going to share with you in a moment are the industries where we know we need 35,000 skilled workers every year for the next 10 years to move our economy forward.
Wow.
406 Jobs is designed to support employment in all sectors in Montana. But these few areas where we've identified that lack of workforce is proving to be a sustained challenge for Montana's economy moving forward. So those six high demand sectors where we need the most growth in the shortest amount of time are healthcare and health careers. They're the construction trades across Montana. It's hospitality and recreation. It's advanced manufacturing and computing. It's education and childcare. And it's the financial and professional services. Again, you know, we have deep respect for the legacy industries in Montana. Things like agriculture, where I come from, natural resources, forestry, extraction. This is not to say that we do not still support those industries and will not continue to develop and assign resources to training workers in those. But because of automation and consolidation and just the changing landscape in Montana, they just simply don't need as many workers in the next few years as these six. So we'll support everyone. But 406 Jobs is focused on four pathways to work, zero barriers to employment, and six key high impact industries where we know we need 35,000 skilled workers every year starting this year.
You know, you hear some of those numbers and it doesn't sit on you, or you don't think about it until you think about 35,000 every year for the next 10 years. And that's just kind of a minimum, right? In that challenge in and of itself, what do you see? What do you see? And this is why you get a 406 Jobs initiative as well. But what do you see in that challenge, meeting that 35,000 every year for the next 10 years?
A lot of it is awareness, Tom. Our young people across Montana, you know, folks really in that age group of 16 to 24, they're not aware of the changing landscape of jobs available across Montana.
I never was.
And the jobs that they can do right in their communities, right? Yeah. I'm a native of Glasgow myself, and I never knew about advanced manufacturing or a lot of these opportunities that are really high-wage, high-skilled jobs for Montana kids. And so really making sure that we supercharge our career exploration pathways for young people, and that we don't do that by putting one more responsibility on the classroom teacher. As a system, we need to provide more awareness to our young people without asking our teachers to do more in a day.
Sarah Swanson is with us, the Commissioner of the Department of Labor and Industry, in studio today as well. It's really good to have you in studio. Appreciate that. Seeing your bright, smiling face and relaying all this information. We do have a tight job market in Montana. The unemployment rate is held steady. I think we're at like under 3%. And as a matter of fact, and this is hard to fathom, 47 consecutive months below 3.4%, 8 straight months under 3% as well. We're talking more about this 406 Jobs initiative to get some of the people who have left the workforce, so to speak. And I want to kind of talk a little bit about why they fall out of the workforce. The zero, as you said, in 406 stands for zero barriers. But I assume that you guys have identified some of these barriers to the 100,000, and that's not the entire number. There's like, what'd you say, 214 retirees? Okay, we got a question going. There you go, yeah.
There are 340,000 people that we've identified in Montana that are out of the workforce.
Okay.
240,000 of them are of retirement age and have entered their retirement phase of life. But the 100,000 that we talked about earlier are those folks of prime working age between the ages of 16 and 54 that aren't engaged in our workforce at all.
A lot of reasons why they drop out. What are the reasons why they can't get back into it?
Yeah, I think it's really important when we think about the barriers that prevent Montanans from accessing the workplace. There's three. Right. There's a barrier around prepared employees, around engaged employers, and around the responsiveness of the system. So when we think about employees and what does it take to have a prepared employee ready to fulfill the opportunities our employers have available, we have to think about lack of access to training programs, lack of critical skills, whether that's digital literacy or financial literacy or employability, those soft skills that all of our employers talk about. Digital literacy is so important. AI is here and employers are just starting to explore what does that look like and what sort of AI readiness skills does our workforce need? But prepared employees often face things like chronic illness or disability, difficulty transitioning from military to civilian work, like we talked about earlier, or returning to the workforce after a significant gap in employment. Whether that's a family obligation, an illness, an injury, or some other reason, returning back after a gap is often a challenge for workers in Montana. And then when we think about engaged employers and what does that mean to overcome barriers, a lot of our hiring practices in Montana are focused on educational qualification rather than verified skills and abilities. And a lot of our employers are unfamiliar with direct-to-career opportunities, things like registered apprenticeship, work-based learning, or on-the-job training opportunities that we've got an incredible team of experts at the Department of Labor where we can help employers build those skills. A lot of employers have difficulty navigating Montana's public school system. They want to work with our young people to provide career exploration and, you know, an interest point in their industry, but they don't know how to engage with students or educators to work on those career awareness issues. And there's a lot of frustration from our employers. I used to be one, where they're frustrated that the training programs don't meet the actual industry needs. And so we've got to build those bridges back together where educators, both K-12 and higher ed, and employers are working together to build the workforce that Montana truly needs. And then when we think about the responsiveness of the system, that's all of us in government. And state workforce programs are not coordinated. They're difficult to access for a lot of people. And quality career programs all across the state are stuck in pilot phase in different communities. There's really great stuff happening in Miles City and in Kalispell and in Great Falls. But they're not able to scale because we're not working together as a responsive system. And we've got limited access to actionable data for local occupational planning. We have all kinds of workforce data at the Department of Labor and Industry, but we very rarely work directly with individual communities to share it for their community leaders and elected officials to do local occupational planning led by the employers in that community. And we aim to fix that with 406 jobs. So this lack of communication around best practices and limited employment or employer engagement is absolutely fixable. And it starts with government working better together and to the degree possible, getting out of the way.
I appreciate the engagement of that as well. And that's that goes along to this awareness. You talked about that earlier as one of the barriers. It might surprise us because if anybody's been in business for any stretch of time, and maybe they're just too involved in their business, there's just too much work to do. But those things that maybe are ancillary to their business can really help their business. So what this awareness, why do we have to, what's the challenge with it? It seems like we've been talking about it, but yet still people don't know about it.
Yeah, Montana's state workforce system is robust. There are so many people whose job it is every day is to get up and focus on workforce development in their community or in our state. But it's really fractionated. It's disjointed. The state workforce system doesn't work well together. Community by community, there are incredible success stories. But as a system, we're not working well together. And that's truly the point of the governor's executive order around the 406 jobs initiative and framework. It's designed to bring all of our workforce initiatives together under one entity. That entity is the State Workforce Innovation Board, housed at the Department of Labor and Industry, to be the chief communicator and collaborator and connector of the system. And in the executive order, the governor has ordered every agency in state government within his cabinet to work together and to start doing that immediately. Because we know that those obstacles to work, you know, an individual that needs a job probably also right now is struggling with housing insecurity or food insecurity or childcare assistance. And all of those programs are in place and stabilizing families, but they don't lead back to a work opportunity. And so the governor has directed all of us in state government to work together. So if somebody walks through a door, we ensure that it's never the wrong door. If they walk in that door for housing assistance, it also leads them back to a Montana Job Service Center or the State Workforce Board, so they have a pathway to work and the hope that work provides.
I can't imagine a government that's communicating with each other, you know, and working together hand in hand, and not redundant in some of those services as well. Sarah Swanson with us here, Commissioner of the Department of Labor and Industry in Montana. It's, again, this 406 Jobs Initiative. We'll get to some AI readiness as well. I want to talk, there's a new job service office in Lame Deer. You guys have a mobile office as well, that's a mobile team that's been responding to some closures and things like that. Let's kind of finish up here a little bit. Getting people back into the workforce, we've already got a pretty tight workforce, right? And I have heard in talking with industry members, and you have as well, I want your perspective. What does 100,000 people back into the workforce do to the economy and businesses in Montana?
It supercharges Montana, Tom. We have so many opportunities for the value and the dignity that work provides to Montanans. We've got incredible workers. We value every one of them. But our employers continue to tell us that the number one challenge they have in business in Montana is accessing a ready and capable workforce. And that's what this means. Helping folks overcome barriers so that they're ready and capable and able to fill these roles will relieve some pressure on our employers and will continue to grow our economy. Now, you know, not all is doom and gloom in Montana. We still are setting records in our workforce. Just last August, we set a new record of more workers at work in Montana than ever before. 2 years in a row, we're the fourth fastest growing state for wage increases in Montana. And last year, we were one of only two states in the whole nation where real wage growth outpaced inflation. So we've got some real success stories, but our workforce system doesn't work for everyone. And we aim to fix that.
I was surprised to hear, we got less than 2 minutes and we'll finish it up with this. I was surprised to hear that the hospitality industry is among those that needs more workers. Talk about that.
Yeah, recreation and hospitality, Tom, go hand in hand in Montana. And in many of our communities, they continue to struggle for that workforce. Much of it is seasonal, some of it's not. But, you know, that industry includes things like guiding and outfitting, a licensed occupation in Montana that's licensed by the Department of Labor, and all the supportive structures that go around that. You know, recreation and hospitality can include things like transportation, getting folks around our great state, and just really making sure that folks that live in communities where recreation and hospitality is a big part of the economy, they know where they can enter the workforce.
Not enough time maybe to answer this question, but, you know, what kickstarts these programs? You've laid some things out here. What does 406 Jobs Initiative do to kickstart those things?
Supports communities where they're at, Tom. So next month, we're going to be kicking off a 16-city tour around Montana with our team and our experts, because we know that Helena doesn't have all the answers, right? We can't direct this kind of initiative on Montana. So we're going to go right to the communities all over Montana.
Did you ask Helena if they actually did have all the answers?
I did not.
Oh, yeah, but we just know that they don't know. I appreciate that. Sarah, AI readiness. Are we even ready to talk about AI?
We're ready to talk about it, Tom, and it's exciting, and it's here.
Well, let's do that. We'll come on back with more. It is part of this 406 Jobs Initiative that's been initiated in Montana. We'll talk more about AI readiness. In studio is the Commissioner of Montana's Department of Labor and Industry. That's Sarah Swanson here as well. Sarah, Montanan, a lot of small business experience, and really kind of, I think, taking this department in a better direction in my mind, Sarah. And I don't mean just to say that, but like I said earlier, you guys have some outreach things going on. You're doing initiatives like this 406 Jobs Initiative as well. One thing that's, and we'll get to AI here, but one thing that's striking is, and there was another program that you guys were slightly ahead of the White House on. This is also an example because the White House released some information as well. It wasn't collaborated, and they've got initiative for workforce strategies.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, we're just excited at the Montana Department of Labor and Industry. We're reassured that the work we're doing is moving in the right direction. Earlier this week, the White House released a new white paper called America's Talent Strategy, Building the Workforce for the Golden Age. And it's centered around five strategic action pillars to reform America's workforce between the U.S. Departments of Labor, Commerce, and Education. And their five pillars around industry-driven strategies, building those reliable talent pipelines with employers in the lead. Pillar two around worker mobility and recognizing that folks enter the workforce in lots of ways and need opportunities to move around the workforce throughout their entire career, including innovative use of technology in those positions. They're focused on integrated systems and replacing our fragmented, disjointed workforce system. They're focused on accountability, making sure that when we do invest into the workforce system, we're actually getting outcomes on the backside.
Love to hear that. We need
Absolutely. And then they're focused on flexibility and innovation and recognizing that not every state looks the same. Well, when we, you know, lay that right on top of 406 jobs, the year-long initiative that we've been developing that we launched with the governor on Monday, we're right there with them, but we're a year ahead of most states because we've already engaged with our communities and our elected leaders and our employers and our workers, and we've already rolled out how is Montana going to implement a talent strategy building Montana's workforce for the golden age. We're ready, and we launched on Monday. So when we saw the White House launch this on Tuesday, boy, are we excited.
And I'm thinking, come on, you had to like plan that, right? No.
We feel really reassured that we're moving in the right direction as the State Department of Labor and Industry.
Part of Governor Gianforte's executive order that launched this initiative dealt with AI readiness. I guess I can understand that conceptually, but what does that mean on paper?
Absolutely. AI is here, right? Individuals are using it every day, whether you're working in an office or we saw a demonstration yesterday at RDO where they're using some AI technology to allow disabled individuals to operate construction equipment without being in the machine so that folks can get back to work despite their disability, right? And we're seeing young people and educators grappling with what is AI and how do we manage it in the classroom? So the governor's executive order on Monday for 406 jobs has a bold goal, and it very clearly states that the Department of Labor and Industry shall collaborate with Montana's Office of Public Instruction, the Office of the Higher Ed Commission, the Montana University System, and the Department of Commerce. And together, we need to very quickly evaluate and develop a plan where we can promote and expand opportunities that equip Montanans with AI skills. It's here. It's coming faster. Montanans need to be ready. We need to work together to provide professional development opportunities to support our educators in incorporating AI skill development and career awareness and readiness instruction so that our students are ready when they graduate. We need to work to identify opportunities to integrate those AI tools that can assist job seekers in navigating career pathways, accessing training, and securing employment in these great high-skill, high-wage jobs that Montana has available now. Continuing to encourage public-private partnerships that accelerate AI workforce development and adoption in those six key sectors in Montana. We need to really focus on supporting our small businesses and upskilling our existing workers by incorporating AI technologies into business operations, by training Montanans on what does this mean, what's available to them, and how can they be ready. And then really focusing on prioritizing digital modernization in Montana, including AI readiness wherever appropriate, in how we deliver workforce services and talent development programs, whether it's state agencies, colleges and universities, K-12 schools, or training providers. How are we prioritizing modernizing the training we give our young people on being ready for AI?
AI is a game changer. And it's not coming, it's here. Right. I don't think we know how big a game changer it is. And this is I postulate that our future is going to be a little difficult to get to because AI is going to keep changing things on, you know, every year or every whatever it is, you know, six months. How do we embrace AI without exactly knowing how big it can be? There's fear, there's intimidation. I hear people say, and I know it'll make us more efficient, yes, but it shouldn't cost us jobs. I think it'll cost, actual physical employment numbers. I just don't see how it doesn't. I'm trying to get a head around a society where AI is incorporated logically and accountably. And then we also have a sense of peace about it as a society. And I know it's an esoteric kind of question, but look down the road and what do you see as our labor commissioner?
Yeah, unfortunately, Tom, this job didn't come with a crystal ball.
Oh.
So I can't quite predict what the future is bringing. But what we can focus on is readiness, right? We know what we know now. We know the tools and abilities that are here. And focusing on, you know, training and awareness and getting the workers that we have today ready to use the tools of tomorrow, we can achieve that now by working together across all the service providers, education and training providers, and state government. Readiness is where we're focused on making sure folks know how to use those AI tools. We know that Montana still has a severe worker shortage, despite all the records that we're setting, like I talked to you about earlier. We have more people at work in Montana today than ever before, but we also have 70,000 positions identified by all of our job service offices across the state that we could fill today if we had a capable and skilled workforce. And so we're really focused on not that AI is going to cost jobs. We don't have enough people to fill the jobs we have. So if AI can increase the training that our workers have at their fingertips and make them more efficient and make them able to fulfill the jobs that are open, we think it's a real game changer, but we've got to focus on readiness.
Two aspects of that, employer and employee.
Absolutely.
Readiness. Are employers, how do you equip them to appropriately apply AI to their industries?
You know, it's not up to government to tell employers what to do.
I'll stand on that all day,
every day. But what we can do is provide training and resources across state agencies, whether that's the Department of Commerce, Labor, in some sectors, it's DNRC or DEQ, making sure that we're sharing industry-leading information with our business owners and their workers of what do we know that's coming, what are the training opportunities available, and how can we scale it so that every employer, whether they're in Plentywood or Plevna or maybe they're down in Butte, how can they access the training that they need to even understand what is AI and how are leading folks in their industry applying it without having to spend, you know, precious resources or travel or do those things to go learn about it? What can we do to bring that readiness training and awareness to Montanans? That's where we're focused. It's not government's job to tell industry what to do, but it is our job to provide, you know, training and access and awareness to the people of Montana. And that's where our focus under the governor's executive order lies.
Sarah Swanson, again with us, the commissioner of the Department of Labor and Industry. Why don't you just, I got a few more questions here, but what does the DIL do?
The Department of Labor and Industry in Montana does a lot of things. We run the State Workforce Service Division, which is much of what we're talking about today. It's registered apprenticeship. It's our outreach teams. It's our State Economist Bureau, where all that labor market information data lives. It's also our job service network of 18 offices across the state. We run the Unemployment Insurance Division in Montana, which is a safety net that employers fund in Montana, and we're very conscious about the tax dollars they pay to contribute to that. We were very excited this year in the legislature to pass a tax cut for unemployment insurance taxes in Montana, the biggest in a generation, to show the employers that we're committed to being more efficient with the tax dollars they give us to run that safety net program of unemployment. And then we run the Employment Standards Division in Montana, a very broad unit that does incredible work that touches the lives of almost every Montanan every day. It's the Building Code Division in charge of the state building code enforcement. It's weights and measures. So, Tom, everything you buy, whether it's the gas in your gas tank or the banana that you weigh on the scale at the grocery store, we certify all the scales in Montana, livestock scales and beyond. We run the occupational licensing for Montana. Over 200,000 Montanans count on us for a license before they can go to work every day. We focused on that tremendously this legislative session with a incredible reform package around standardization and streamlining, focusing on if it takes us even a day or two longer to process an application, we're keeping someone from work and we're inhibiting their ability to support themselves and their family. But we also take very seriously our role to protect the public from licensees when there's an issue. And so making sure we had that standardization and ability to process applications, but also to protect the safety of the public. That team also is the workers' compensation regulator for Montana, in charge of the state safety plan and coal mine inspections in Montana. We operate the Human Rights Bureau and discrimination enforcement in Montana and a number of other programs in the Employment Services Division, ensuring that our workplace is safe and that it's fair to everybody who's participating.
Wow. I'm glad I don't got a real job. That sounds like it's pretty dang busy. I had no idea, really.
It is busy, but we love it, Tom. We get to impact the lives of Montanans every day.
I couldn't tell that you love it, Sarah. I appreciate that. Come back. We'll take a break. And then I want to talk. It's kind of a lightning round, but there's a couple of things. You talked about, was it 47 job service offices?
18.
Oh, okay. But there is a new one, right?
There is a new
first one in how many years?
Almost 40 years. We just opened our first office.
We've learned a ton today. Thank you, Sarah, for that. The 406 Jobs Initiative, but how the Department of Labor and Industry, DLI, does a lot of work. This initiative, go to the Department of Labor and Industry. I don't have, what's your website? It's
DLI.MT.gov.
That's really super easy, too, isn't it? DLI.MT.gov. A lot of services there, too. And I hope, you know, you're going to explore this as an employer, but as an employee as well, and especially you know, get that message out to young folks that we want to prepare you better for a career or many you know, multiple careers that you want to move forward with. So lightning round, first new job service opened in Lame Deer in 40 years. It's remarkable.
Yeah, Tom, if we think about the goals of 406 jobs, right, to ensure that the Montana workforce system works for everyone and that we can ensure that every Montanan has a pathway to career and a plan to achieve it. And then if we look at the data, where are the places in Montana where unemployment rates are higher, labor force participation rates are lower, and folks have less access to career exploration and training programs to get them into the workplace, which is the goal, right? To get folks self-sufficient through meaningful employment and the dignity that work provides.
Yeah.
We were so thrilled last December to receive a resolution from the Northern Cheyenne Tribal Council. They really were visionary in this. They authored resolution number 55, recognizing the importance of career development and job placement, soft skill training for their people to prepare folks for today's workforce. They recognize that wraparound services to address those barriers to employment are important in the Northern Cheyenne Nation. And they recognize that relevant workforce planning and training that reflects the tribe's values, traditions, and the aspirations for what work for their people should look like was really encouraging. And at the end of that resolution, they invited the Montana Department of Labor to partner with them in a whole new way. And so they gave us space, office space in the Little Wolf Tribal Headquarters building to really be one of the lead entities of workforce development in Northern Cheyenne alongside all of their workforce programs. And just Wednesday of this week, we were down there with the governor and cut a ribbon. The office is open. It was not new employees. They were employees from within our agency already that had a passion for this work in that community. So we've got three staff working there in Lame Deer in the Little Wolf Tribal Headquarters. And we hope that all the people of the Northern Cheyenne will stop by, meet the staff, and begin charting a course back to work.
Somewhat barrier breaking as well.
We're excited about it. I think it's going to be a real opportunity to learn more about how can we provide career awareness and training access to folks that have been out of the workforce for a length of time.
Not enough time to really get into the mobile services and some of those resource closures, so to speak. But I know when Sibanye Stillwater was dealing with their closures or layoffs, you guys were there. Your mobile team was there as well. I think that's been real effective as well. You want to wrap something up here? I got a minute left, so give me some final thoughts.
Yeah, the mobile services you referenced, Tom, are rapid response services. And the message I would ask Montana workers and Montana employers is that if your place of employment is facing a large layoff in the future, call the Department of Labor. We have found tremendous success in meeting workers as quickly as possible where they are before a layoff. You know, we had 40 people on the ground at the Stillwater mine closure for an entire week. Just last week, we had 25 people on the ground with the workers of UFP Edge. If we can meet people on the day they're notified of a layoff, provide them job training opportunities, new job placement opportunities, we can reduce the length of time that Montanans have to be on unemployment. And I think that's important.
It's a real people helping position, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I appreciate you doing that, Sarah. And for stopping in.
Thanks,
right?
Tom.
And all those other things you do that you don't recognize, like get the Governor's Association to the rodeo in Billings, Montana. That had to be a ton of fun. Thanks,
yeah.
Sarah. Have a
Thank
great
you,
weekend.
Tom.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.